Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. I'd like you to take some time and write down my website or go there if you get a chance or while you're listening to the broadcast or after the broadcast. My website is crosstheborder.org, just like it sounds, crosstheborder.org, as in cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and obtain eternal life. There is absolutely nothing more important there. You'll find many interesting articles there. I would like to hear from you, so do subscribe to my blog. Go to my contact page, leave a comment, an inquiry there, anything, if you'd like to say something nice or you'd like to challenge anything I'm saying or anything on any of my pages, please comment on the appropriate page if you're commenting on an article there. Okay, we've got into Ecclesiastes, talking about the kingdom, yes, the kingdom of heaven, into which my Heavenly Father has called me, and I am on a mission. I am doing this, working on a prize that is eternal. I am working for things that are eternal because I agree with the preacher. Otherwise, if I'm not working for a kingdom that will last forever, a kingdom into which I am going to cross when my mortal existence comes to its end, and into which I will cross forever and remain there, the only kingdom that will last forever. And that is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where Yahshua, Jesus, is the king. That's the place to be. And you have to be in his kingdom. That's why I bid everyone everywhere to cross that border into his kingdom. I preach the gospel of the kingdom because I am not greater than my master. The master, they call him Jesus in the West. I believe Yahshua is a pretty good translation of the name in Hebrew, which means that our creator by name is our salvation, that he is our salvation, or he's our creator's salvation, one way or another. Those two words go together. And we enter into his kingdom through the work that he did by his blood, by the blood of the Lamb. We enter into his kingdom through repentance, because he made that way for us to repent and step into his kingdom, to be seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Messiah. Let's pick it back up here with the preacher in Ecclesiastes. All things are full of labor, chapter 1, verse 8. Men cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, they think of the Bible and they hear things like, the Bible is just a book of fables that was written thousands of years ago. And that doesn't apply to us today because we're modern men. And, you know, things have changed. But the preacher here says that there is no new thing under the sun. Huh. And you might say, well, there are new things under the sun. We have computers and automobiles. Well, you know what? There's really new things. They're just a new form. Yeah, we have a new form of things because the computer chip is a crude copy of the brain cell. That's right. It's a crude copy of how the brain works. Mm-hmm. How information is stored in this biological device that you have between your shoulders on top of your, in the sitting up there in that skull of yours. There is a biological computer, to put it in that type of language, because it stores information in much the same way, but far better and far more wonderfully made. As a matter of fact, even with, you know, as man gets better and better at the technology, they're making it smaller and smaller. You know, for a Cray computer back in the 60s, you know, you needed a whole room to do with, to for the same type of computer, for what I could put on my laptop, I mean, on my desk in the 1980s. So computers evolved that much from tubes and massive amounts of electricities and a great room to something you could put on your desktop. Mm-hmm. And now, today, you know, and well, let's go back to the end of the 1980s, I would pay, you know, $2,000 for a computer that, say, was, I don't know, what were they, like 200, 100 megahertz or something like that, the processor speed, a Pentium, whatever. I don't even know if they had Pentiums then. They had just had processors. And then you had a 20 megabyte hard drive. Boy, you were flying. You know, a couple floppy disks. You had to have one of each. And you were doing really good. You thought that was something. But now, today, for about $50, I can pick up an off-lease IBM computer that is just super-duper fast. And, you know, I've got four of them here running my studio for me. Yeah, all off-lease IBM, hyper-threading Pentium 4 3.2 gigahertz processors running my studio right now, doing all that work for me. And I can buy those, I can pick those up for less than $100 each with the XP Pro. So, is there a new thing under the sun? No. There's nothing new about processing, about processors. The first, the inventor of the processor, of which man makes crude copies, invented it at the beginning. Yes, in the beginning. Didn't you know that he made them, and he made them male and female? And he put processors inside their skulls. And not only that, he put processors inside of every animal, every creature that he made. So there's no new thing under the sun. Oh, automobiles, uh-huh. Well, they had carts with wheels. They just had, didn't have, you know, the fire is not new that drives the automobile. The explosion is not new. What's new is what man is doing with it. There is no new thing under the sun, really, when you think about it. Man is just so enamored with, you know, all his devices and contraptions that he's made with the technology that the Almighty has created. He created the technology, and yes, we create to a certain degree in that we use what he made, and we create things out of it. And that's a gift from the Almighty. That's a gift from God. But truly, there is no new thing under the sun. The explosion that drives your automobile, it's been here before. It's been done before. It's not a new thing. Fire is not a new thing. Steel is not a new thing. You know, all of the elements were here before you even thought of it. You know, before man came up with the wheel, invented the wheel, things were rolling around already. So who really created the wheel? The Almighty did. Because we take what he created and we create a technology and tools that are useful, because that's all these technologies are that we create. They're tools, and they can be used for good or they can be used for evil. Okay? You can use these tools to create something that is going to last forever, to do a work. You labor. Your whole life is, you spend the labor of your life, which is a gift from God. That's right. God gave you the gift of labor. And you can spend it any way you want. Or you can steal other men's labor. That's what a lot of men do, so they don't have to labor themselves. They labor at stealing other men's labor. That's their labor. So they can try to fill their eyes with seeing and fill their ears with hearing and enjoy all the riches and all of the things and the technologies that this life has to offer. But when it comes to the end of their mortality, it's all for nothing. All of that enjoyment is over with. Do they have an eternal treasure? Store up your treasure in heaven, where moth cannot and rust cannot corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal, where the government, the biggest thief of all, can't steal it from you. That's where your treasure is. That's what you need to labor for. Then your labor is no longer a vanity. That's right. Now, yes, you should, you know, God gave us these gifts, the Almighty, our Creator, he gives us all these things or gifts. and let us use them lawfully and enjoy them lawfully while we store up treasures in heaven, treasures that will last forever, treasures that can't be counted in this life. Yes, and let me not try to count them in this life. You know, there are going to be those that, and you can read about this, the Messiah wrote about it, and he talked about it, it was recorded from him. He said that many are going to come in that day. Yes, he's the judge. And they're going to say to me, didn't I do this? And didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I bring, you know, I counted, I have a record. Yeshua, I have a record, King Jesus, oh great judge, I have a record. You know, don't you remember on such and such a date that 249 souls came to Christ? Don't you remember that? Or don't you remember the time that it's recorded there on CNN or the local television network, I was holding up the big check, Jesus, and I gave $1 million to the woman's health clinic, or to feed the poor, or to give laptops to the little children at the public school temple. It was recorded on the local news. I held up the big check so everyone could see. Did you see that? You're storing up your treasure in the wrong place. That's the problem. That's why he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care how many souls you counted that day of people that went through your ritual. I don't care how many people walked down the aisle at the Great Crusade. I never knew you. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. All the thing that hath been, it shall be. It is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It hath already been of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Yes, they're going to forget all about it eventually. Oh, they may write it up in a history book, but it's not like it's real. It's in a history book. It's a memory. It's not like it's still there. People go on. The last generation is forgotten, and everything that you labored for is now in the hands of other men. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given the sons of man to be exercised therewith. You know, and that word exercise is like, you know, it's like running the race. It's like to be tried with, to be exercised, to see to endure. That's right. Has given the sons of man to endure, to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. When those things become the focus, when they become the end, they are vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, we all have jobs, you know, to do if we're working. And we labor and we earn money. And some of us labor and earn very little money because we don't labor for money. And some of us, well, we're called to labor for money. And the wise ones, they take the money that they labor for and they plant it in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of heaven. And they say, okay, I'm going to store up my treasures there. And they become fellow workers with people like me that have dedicated our whole lives to laboring in his kingdom. I mean, that's all I do, is I labor in his kingdom. I'm not working for riches or, you know, treasures on this earth. I know that when I'm gone, that it's unlikely that anything that I've worked for will go to my children. It's unlikely, especially in the days that we're living in today. I see the Inquisition coming. I see the final Inquisition accompanied by the mark of the beast. It's coming. the technocracy that is needed is here and is building right now around us. It's going to be difficult days. I may have to get up and leave everything. All the labor and the treasure, what, if you could call it treasure, the treasures of this world, what property I have, I may have to just get up and leave it all one day. Or it may be stolen from me. I had people trying to steal everything I have right now. They've got me in the courts just through malice and greed, trying to steal everything I have. I know I could lose it all. And I go, so what? If I lose it, I lose it. I'll move on. Then the Heavenly Father, if I lose it and I have to leave it, you know, if I have to leave my home because someone's going to steal it from me, fine. You know, if the Heavenly Father allows it, that to happen, then I know that He's telling me, well, then it's time to go somewhere else, and He's going to provide the guidance I need when that time comes. And the thieves can have it to the destruction of their own souls, if that's what they want. And I pray for them. Yes, I do pray for them. And I'm not making up a story here when I say that I am going through this kind of trial, because I am. I don't have any pension plan. I don't have any bank accounts. I don't have a medical plan. I don't have a salary. After I pay all the expenses here for all the work I do every month, I get to live on what's left over. And it's not really a whole lot. But I'll tell you what, I don't do without. I don't go hungry. My bills are paid. And I will outlast all of the others out there that are doing what I'm doing, because I've learned to do it on very little. As a matter of fact, I started doing it on my life savings. That's right. I took my life savings to plant this ministry, and it wasn't that long ago. Had a few good years. And then, well, came the real estate bubble, and everything has dried up now, but it's fine, because I've learned to live on little and be satisfied. And my real treasure is being stored up in a place where I can't even count it. I don't want to count it. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I don't want to know what the result of the work that I'm doing for You is. I don't want numbers. I don't need numbers. I don't have to tally every day and say, how many souls did I save this week, like they do with the big crusades. They tell you after the big crusade, well, 249 people came to Christ. It's too many. 249 people, you know, said the sinner's prayer and entered into the kingdom. And I say that's all vanity. You know, who are we trying to impress? Other men? Then you have your reward. You're trying to impress the Almighty? I don't think you're going to impress Him. You know, I recognize that if anyone gains eternity by the work that I'm doing out of obedience to my Heavenly Father, that I am sitting in a privileged seat, that He is allowing me to do this work for Him, that the work would get done without me. Someone else would do it if I wouldn't. He doesn't need me to do the work, but it pleases Him to use men like me and men like you, men who are willing to give up their life or give up their labor and the fruit of their labor for the work if they're not doing the work. So He calls you to one, to give up the fruit of your labor for the work of His kingdom, and to minister to those, to your neighbor, those that you deal with on a daily basis that come into your life with your labor and your life and your family. And He calls you to that, or He calls you to give up everything and to work full-time for Him as He has me. I work full-time for Messiah. I give it all. You know, not 10%, 100%. I mean, it's not even counted in money where I come from. I can't count it in money. If I was counting it in money, I'd be very poor. So we're exercised by these things, and we make the choices we make. What are you doing with your labor? Are you planning it in His kingdom? Don't give it to me unless He tells you to. That's what I say. I don't want anything from anybody unless the Almighty tells you to give it there. Give it where He tells you to give it. Prayerfully seek where He wants you to give your money. Not just to, you know, who pulls your strings the best or makes the best argument. None of that. Forget it. You give where He tells you to give. I don't want a penny from anyone that He hasn't told to give me that penny. Because you are answerable to Him, not to me. And I'm not playing any games here. I'm not trying to talk anybody into giving me anything. there are plenty of charlatans out there that know how to play the game. They know how to tug on the heartstrings. They know how to use the conviction and guilt or the lust for the greed of things that this life has to offer to get people to give. Because everybody has troubles in this life. Some people can't make their bills, so those are the ones that have to give the most so that God will pay their bills for them. That God will, if you give me 200, God will fill you tenfold in all your bills. Yeah, BS, man. That's what I say. Excuse the vernacular. But that is bull scat. That's exactly what it is. You labor and you prayerfully, don't listen to men, you prayerfully give where the Almighty tells you to give. It's your labor. You're planting it in His kingdom, and you want to make sure you're giving it into His kingdom. So do it in the integrity of your heart. Give it to Him. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. That which is crooked cannot be made straight? Ah. You know, it's like we have the great whore of history that has a wicked root, and the root is wicked and evil. And can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? It can look like good fruit, but it isn't. It's still poisonous. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is great grief, is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. And I see this all the time, that there's a madness. That if people aren't careful, even in studying the Word of God and studying other writings, people get carried away. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a little break here, have a little music, and listen to the news. So while you're gone, get yourself a cup of coffee, whatever your delight is, and check out my website, crosstheborder.org.